You are listening to Yoga Boss, episode 212.
Welcome to the Yoga Boss podcast. Do you feel like you were meant to have a successful career in the yoga industry? Like you got into this industry to truly help your students, but you're struggling to actually make money? Or you know that marketing your business is essential, but don't know how to make it intentional and effective for you? Maybe you have already had some success, but you're ready to scale to multiple six figures. Building a profitable yoga business is less complicated and easier than you know. It takes business strategy and a yoga boss mindset. When you are ready to work on your business, instead of in it, this is the podcast for you. Now your host, Jackie Murphy, the business coach just for yoga teachers.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Yoga Boss. I am Jackie Murphy. This is episode 212, and we are doing another Q&A episode. If you don't follow me over on Instagram, it's The Business of Yoga. Come and follow along, because sometimes I'll put up a story and say, hey, I'm going to do a Q&A episode. What questions do you have? And then we just answer those. I find that these episodes really give me a chance to share a bit more like behind the scenes personal look at who I am and how I run my business, but it also is really helpful for those of you who have questions that you want answers to. So if your question doesn't get answered in this episode, send it to me again. Or if you didn't ask a question, make sure you're following at The Business of Yoga so that your question can be in the next episode. All right, let's just dive on in. So We Be Yoga Studio says P&L/good finance standards to follow for businesses. Okay, so there is a P&L inside of the Business of Yoga course that I want all of my clients to be using. If you aren't in the Business of Yoga course, you need a very simple P&L to track whether or not your business is profitable or not. A P&L is going to let you know what revenue you brought in that month, what your expenses were that month, and finally, what your profit was, right? If you're brand new to business, your profit is just your revenue minus your expenses, and that fluctuates over time. Now, I will say that in business, sometimes it is strategic to not be profitable for a few months if you are making a solid investment or you have something where you're really using more capital that month, but you know in the long run it's going to come back to you in a really, really big way. So what I like to do is once a week, typically, I go in and I update the P&L. So I'm looking at what expenses I've had, do my subscriptions and the things that I pay for automatically, am I still being charged the same amount? Because hey, sometimes it goes up and you want to know if you're paying more. So I look at my credit card statement and I make sure that every charge that's in the credit card statement goes into my expenses and that is accurate. This is going to be really helpful if you do it weekly because it doesn't take a ton of time. If you don't ever do it and then you have to sit down and do it all at one time for your taxes, it takes more time. The other thing I put in is how much money we've made that week, right? So I look at Kajabi, I have money, and then Samcart we use to bring in money. So I look at those two different things, I put them together in the P&L, and I just update it. And then I will also say, I'm recording this podcast on March 1st. I also make sure to do this either on the last day of the month or the first day of the next month so that every single month is up to date and ready to go, that I'm not wondering, did I finish that? Did I complete that? Is that up to date? Is it not? So that is what you want to at least make sure that you have. Now, we could go into a lot about good finance standards for business, but the biggest thing that I want to tell you is that you have to know your numbers. You cannot be in business and be like, I don't know how much I made or I don't know how much I spent. You have to make sure that you're tracking that intentionally so that you do know. And a lot of times I see yoga teachers or studio owners really avoid this because we either come from a background of scarcity or we weren't taught to really think about money in a strategic way. And so it feels like this really big thing. When you sit down to have your money date every single week, I want you to put on your objective yoga business owner hat and sit down and know that numbers are numbers. They're not going to change whether or not you can feel proud of yourself, whether you're worthy or valuable. Like, that isn't reflected on your P&L. Your P&L is just telling you like, hey, did we spend too much money on Zoom last month? Or whatever it may be. So that's the basics of what you should be tracking in terms of finance and numbers. I will say I just read a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money, and I really liked the way that it talked about money and really gave you a kind of a woo-woo sense of like thinking about money. But then I also think just like reading a book that's very simple business finance is going to be very key. Or joining the Business of Yoga course, there's an entire module, entire video where I talk about how business money is very different and needs to be tracked differently and thought about differently than your personal money. So that's what I'll say about that. Okay, Monica Le Baron, I hope I said that right. She says, tell us about your relationship with sleep. I would love to talk about sleep. So I have two little kids, 3 and 1, and they are little kids. So I can't tell you the last time that I slept for a full 8 hours at night. But that's also the phase of life that I'm in. So knowing that I'm probably going to be up at some point during the night, either like tucking a kid back in or taking care of something or doing something, I really prioritize going to bed early. I am not a late night person. I just like can't do it. I can't work late. I can't stay up late. I would rather wake up at 4:30 in the morning and get to work then and get up then than like stay up past 9 p.m. That might make me incredibly lame, but some of you guys are in the same boat as me. So typically, like I have no trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, except for my kids. So that's my relationship with sleep right now. I take it when I get it. And if it's not a lot, that's okay. I move on and I get up and go. If I am feeling extremely tired and like a night didn't go well or whatever happened, I am not against a nap during the day, a 20-minute power nap. I think that's part of the beauty of being an entrepreneur is that my schedule is flexible most days. And so if my body needs more rest, I'm going to give it more rest. I'm also a very like sound sleeper. Like I don't really have a ton of problems sleeping at all. Okay. I am Ms. 3857. Says, where is the balance between being bold and being pushy when having initial conversation with leads? Okay, so I think this is a super interesting question. And I actually messaged her and I was like, can you give me a specific example with that? Because I'm not totally sure what you mean. I think when you're first talking to people, whether it's about your specific offer or about yoga or wellness in general, a lot of that conversation should be you listening and not talking. And that's where I find a really good balance between I never really feel pushy because in those conversations, I go into it from a place of curiosity, thinking, I don't know if I can really help this person or I don't really know if they're a right fit or there's some things I would need to learn first before I could even pitch them my thing, putting air quotes if you're not watching this, there's a video, because you don't know. And so a lot of times those first initial conversations are what is going to be called the info gather stage. And so instead of going out there and directly going to inviting them to your thing or directly saying that you can help them, what questions do you need to ask in order to have the right information to know whether or not you can help that person or they are the right student or the right client for you? And write those questions down. What is it that you need to ask? Have you asked it? And then if someone tells you like, yeah, I really have some wellness goals about being less stressed and I want to get healthier, I don't want you to go straight into like, I can help you do that. Because you're not even clear yet on what exactly they mean. When I say less stressed, I think of a picture, I think of an image, but my image and my picture is different than probably what you are thinking of. And so when you're in a conversation with a client and you're getting information and they're telling you about their goals that they have, I want you to go even further with asking for, like, what specifically would that look like for you? Or what specifically do you mean by less stressed? Or what would that look like in your life? And they can give you all the details and all of information. And so naturally, at some point, when you have all that information, you'll know, gosh, I don't need to invite this person. I'm not the right teacher for them. Or it'll be a very seamless, like, based on what we've talked about, I really do think it can help you. And it doesn't ever have to come across as pushy. When I am in a sales conversation, I really try and stay away from any pushy words like should, you should do this, or you need to do this, or you have to do this. I think that is when it starts to feel like we're forcing someone into doing something, and nobody likes that feeling. So you just offer just a little bit of wiggle room, like, I think I could really help you if you're interested, or if you want to talk about that further. Maybe we can work on this, or there may be a way where this can happen. So you're adding just in a little bit of like space where if you want this, I can help you, but it's completely up to you. There's no pressure. You don't have to. And there's never any push or force to it. I hope that helps too. The other thing I'll say with this is oftentimes anytime we get like pushy or we start to get, you should do this or you have to do this, it's not because we're pushier, like angry people. It's simply because we're really passionate. I actually read this today in an email. It said passionate people tend to be very impatient. And it's not because we are mad at the other person or we want them to do something or we just like really like wish they would move faster. It's just because we are so passionate about what we do that oftentimes that passion comes out first and foremost. And that passion is like so enthusiastic that it's like, why would you wait? It's amazing. You're going to love it. And that's where we lose people. So keep your passion. Ask the questions that you need. Remain incredibly patient, right? Sales and conversations, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. You're building the relationship. You're deepening the relationship. And so give yourself lots of time to get the information that you need to know. Stay patient with the person if they're not seeing the value or the benefit at the get-go. Remain patient and passionate and you'll find yourself saying the bold thing, like, I can really help you with this if you want it, but not the pushy thing of you have to do this or you really should do this. That's my answer for that question. Okay, next question. Let me go to Instagram post. Okay, this is from Caitlin Nash Yoga. She said, do you get distracted? What do you do to pull back into consistency, focus, and what matters? So I'm human. Obviously, I get distracted. I think I'm kind of like curious of what you mean by your question, just because we had a conversation, Caitlin and I, this week. And I think what she's talking about is like, do I get distracted in my business with other offers that I could do? So for example, right now I have the Business of Yoga course and the Grow Mastermind. And then I used to run VIP days. I think there could be another group somewhere in the middle between the Grow Mastermind and the Business of Yoga course. I run the Grow Challenge. And so all of these ideas come up of, well, I could do this and I could do this. Oh, I'm thinking about doing like a summit. I'm thinking about doing a conference, like a retreat in Bali. There's tons of ideas. And in order to stay focused in my business, what I turn to is planning, like really effectively a long time in advance. So I never say no to any idea right away, unless it truly is just like a very genuine no right off the bat. What I typically will do is take an idea and I'll put it down the road 6 months or a year later. And then I let the idea kind of just sit there and I think about it and I think on it and I'm not doing anything. It's just kind of sitting there. I'm still staying focused with like what I offer and how I offer it and what I do. And then when I have time, if the idea is still something I want to act on, then I will act on it. But I never rush into a new idea or I never drop anything that I'm doing to go do a new idea. So for example, we just launched the Business of Yoga course in November of 2023. It is now March 1st of 2024. So just a few months later, and I have a goal for how many people I want in that membership to bring the community alive, to really help you guys network and collaborate with each other. And so that's my main focus. Until I hit that goal, I don't think I'm going to entertain these other ideas, even though I could, because I want to make sure that I'm giving all to this one big goal that I have. And I think sometimes when we're stuck in a state of stress, or we've been hustling for a long time or overworking for a long time, we can add new ideas as a way to like keep us in busy mode instead of looking at what's working to get us to our goal. And can we do more of what's working? Because that can actually be a little bit boring and a little bit slower, but it's really, really important that you learn how to be in that place. So my answer to this question is a little bit long-winded. I don't say no to ideas. I put them aside. I plan them out for 6 months to a year later. I check back in with them. If I still want to do it, then I can act on it. Meanwhile, I stay focused on my current big goal and make sure that I hit that before I move on to something else. A lot of the times people will come to me and they'll be like, but I'm multi-passionate, Jackie. I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And I think we all are multi-passionate. I've never met a single human that's like, I have one passion only. And so it's okay to be multi-passionate. Just don't let that be the reason that you aren't hitting your goals in your business. Have all of the passions, have all of the things that you want to do, but accomplish them over time. Like, this isn't a race. We don't need to do all the things this year. If you're going to build a sustainable yoga business that lasts you for decades, you have time to do one thing and do it well, and then add the other, and then add the other, and add the other. So take a deep breath, slow down. You can be multi-passionate, keep your ideas, and we'll just go one at a time. The other way that I read this question when you first sent it was like, do I get distracted during the day at all? Like, just when I sit down to work. And so if you're asking that question, the answer is also yes, of course I do. I find that if I don't plan out ahead of time what I'm going to do that day or what needs to be done, I get very easily distracted. And then I will like stop working earlier than I could because I don't know what else I should be doing, even though there's a ton of stuff I should be doing. So what I do is like either the night before, or if I haven't done it, the week before, if I haven't done it, if I haven't planned it out, at least the first thing I do when I sit down to work is, what results am I creating today? What things am I going to get done? So like, I'm recording a podcast, I'm posting a reel, I'm following up with this person, I'm submitting the offer or the contract for this person. So I have the list of things that I need to get done, and then I just start going into it and doing it. If I find myself getting distracted there, I often will like pull back, put down my phone, readjust, put on some music and some headphones, turn out the world, and just like one task at a time, get it done. It's actually the experience I had this morning. I sat down to write an email, and I think I sat there for like an hour, and I wrote like four different emails that I all was like, this is not right. This is not right. This is not right. And I kept getting distracted by other emails or other things popping up. And I was like, you know what? I just need to like actually focus on this. So I shut off Slack. I shut off my phone, and I was like, just write and send whatever you write next. And that always gets me back into the mode. So that's how I stay focused, and it's not always perfect. All right, my friends, that's the questions that I have for today's episode. If you have more questions, please send them over to The Business of Yoga on Instagram, and I will do more Q&A episodes in the future because I know these are helpful and I like to share. I like to get to know you and what questions that you have in your business. So head over to The Business of Yoga on Instagram and you can ask your question there. In the meantime, if you haven't taken the How to Grow Your Yoga Business on Instagram masterclass, I'll link it in the show notes to this podcast, and you can take that masterclass. It talks about everything that you need to do in order to grow your yoga business using Instagram in 2024. And that will be your first step in getting started. All right, my friends, talk to you in the next episode.